life. I talked about creation, the fact that you're even here. I talked about revelation because the Word of God says so. And I talked about Calvary or salvation, the fact that he died on Calvary to save you. Those three things alone say, look, you're not an accident. God knows you. He died for you. He has a plan for your life. Say amen this morning. Then I talked about God's plan for the family. I really encourage you to listen to that message because I talked about what is the plan. We got a lot of different things happening when it comes to the family, a lot of different ideas. But God has a wonderful plan for marriage, the family. And I talked about last Sunday night, God's plan for your finances. And if you've not heard that message, or maybe you have questions about tithing and different things, you know, should we not? What about, you know, if I'm in debt, different things like that. I mentioned that, listen, God's got a plan for your life. Amen. He's got a plan for your marriage. He's got a plan for you to raise your children. He's got a plan for your family. He's got a plan. He knows you. He made you. There is an awesome God doing an awesome work in your life. So I want to talk to you this morning, though, and actually tonight I'm going to talk about God's plan for heaven. You know, this world is not our home. There are sometimes people who do pass away young when they're in their teens or 20s or 30s or accidents happen. But ladies and gentlemen, please understand God's plan does not just include this world. God has a plan in the forever world. And I'm going to talk to you tonight about a young boy at 3 years of age who actually saw things and he told what he saw. And there's no way he could have understood it. We're going to talk tonight about God's plan for eternity and forever. But this morning, Satan's got a plan for your life. And I want you to know about that. So I want you to stand with me and go to John chapter 10, verse 10. Just like God has a plan for your life, Satan has a plan for your life. Now, Sister Hope, I forgot about that little picture. Have you got that up there that I could? I saw this on, this is confirmation of the sermon this morning. I saw this on, I was doing a research in a spiritual commentary called Facebook, okay? It says up here, it's your life, God has a plan, Satan has a plan, but you must be wise to know which one to battle and which one to embrace. Oh, if that's not a confirmation. Now go to John chapter 10 and verse 10. I want us to read this scripture out loud together. I like to hear you reading it, knowing that you're hearing and reading the Word of God. Ready? Let's read John 10 and 10. Ready? Read. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life and that may have it more abundantly. Father, reveal to us even greater the awesome plan that you have for our life. Anoint your servant to preach the word, and we'll give you all the praise. And everybody said amen. And turn around and tell somebody you're blessed and you're glad to see them this morning. Tell them you're blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Our scripture text this morning says the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That tells me that just as much as God has a plan for my life, Satan has a plan for my life. His plan is to steal, to kill, to destroy. I just want that to sink in. Whatever you embrace that's not of God, I don't care how good it feels or what it looks like or what Hollywood does, it will ultimately do one of those three things: steal from you, kill you, destroy you. 1 Peter 5 and 8 tells us, 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That doesn't sound very nice. It says he's a roaring lion, which means he can get loud. He can scream to you through condemnation and guilt. He's walking about, which means he's mobile. He follows you. He's a stalker. And it's here to devour. We saw on the 700 Club the other day, Darnell and I, watch the 700 Club every day. Put it on your DVR. Some of you are watching things and crazy stuff, but the 700 Club gives you news. Pat Robertson, they give you everyday life and they give you testimonies. And it's very well done. And there was a lady that, was attacked by a bear, and by miracle, God rescued her. And she talked about, they showed pictures of her legs and how they had those teeth marks in there. She was that close, and had the bear gone for the jugular vein, she'd have been dead. And that's what Satan's wanting to do. He wants to devour you. He's a stalker. Now go to Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, and you'll see this even more clearly. Revelation chapter 12, it's a very strange scripture, and I just want to highlight something for you. It's speaking of things to come in the spiritual realm. Revelation 12, verse 1, if we're there, say amen. All right. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, this is figuratively speaking. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, 7 crowns upon his heads. And verse 4, his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. Now watch this. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered. Why? To devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, this is a prophetic scripture, and there's a lot of implications here. The woman, figuratively speaking, is Israel and the 12 stars. And I don't have time to go through all of that, but I want you to see in this prophetic picture that a woman is giving birth, and as the baby is coming out, there's a dragon ready to steal that baby, ready to kill that baby, ready to destroy. Sounds like a certain political party in our country. But anyway, wanting to destroy that baby at the point of birth. I see y'all looking at me out there. So please understand that Satan had a plan for that baby. Satan had a plan to pounce on it, and Satan has had a plan to destroy it. And that is the point I'm trying to tell you tonight, that from the time you were born, Satan was saying, I want this child. I don't want this child to serve God. I don't want this child to go to heaven. I've got a plan. And that scripture tells us that Satan has a plan for your life. Now go to another scripture. It's a parable in Matthew chapter 13. You don't have to go there. You just look at it on the screen. Matthew chapter 13, verses 27. If we're there, just give me a thumbs up. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 27. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. That's the King James. So what I'm reading might be a little different, but it's the same thing. It says, the farmer's workers went out to him and said, sir, the field where you planted that good seed is full of weeds. Where did they come from? Verse 28, it says, he said unto them, an enemy has done this. Now, please understand, a farmer went out to sow seed, and the seed was growing up, but while he sowed seed that day, somewhere in there, an enemy came in and sowed bad seed so that the bad seed would choke out the good seed. And they said, well, the weed is growing, but there's tares, there's chaff, there's all this stuff that's choking. What happened? And the farmer said, an enemy did this. And my friend, I want you to understand, an enemy is at work, trying to sow bad seeds into your life, trying to choke you from serving God. Well, I don't have time to go to church. The problem is you've been choked out by so much stuff from a seed that the enemy has sown. And every time I hear of divorce, I say an enemy has sown some seed. When I see drug addiction, I say an enemy has sown some seed. When I see a child that is abused, I say an enemy has done this. When I hear of suicide, I say an enemy has done this. When I hear of sexually transmitted diseases, I say an enemy has done this. When I hear of abortion, I say an enemy has done this. When I see somebody in church who is sitting on their gifts and talents and holding themselves for the use of God because they've been hurt and offended, I say an enemy has sowed some seed. Satan has a plan for your life, but I want you to know God's got a better plan. He has a greater plan. I wish you'd give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight. Satan has a plan for every home. He has a plan. I'm talking about the devil, Satan. People, well, I don't believe in the devil. Well, I don't care what you believe in. You might not believe in gravity, but if you trip, you're going to fall. I want you to know, you don't believe in gravity. You prove it. Amen. Satan has a plan for every teenager. Teenagers. No going to church, not part of the youth group, focused on 1,000 other things, because Satan don't want that teenager to get on fire for God, don't want that teenager in those critical years of life. We're so busy. But listen, Satan has a plan for every nation. Satan has a plan for every church. Satan has a plan for every mother, every father. He's got a plan for every pastor. Listen, I want to tell how many times I was, I pastored a church, down east for 3 years. I was the pastor there. Two pastors before I got there filled that church up. You could listen to sermons of him preach, and it was as good as, if not better than, Jimmy Swaggart. That man was an amazing preacher, and I've got his sermons today. I could play you anyone. You could listen on Wednesday night. It was dynamite. You could listen on Sunday morning. It was dynamite. And sure enough, Satan had a plan for that pastor. And that pastor fell into sexual sin. And it didn't start out overtly. It was through a marriage counseling situation. And the church fell off. And then the next pastor that came in, he had had a situation at another church that caught up to him. And that when I walked in the door of that church, I can tell you the enemy had just sowed a lot of bad seed. He doesn't want Westmoreland Church or any church to thrive. He doesn't want preachers to preach. He wants every person in this room this morning. He has a plan for your life. And you say, well, preacher, why? This is kind of gloom and doom. No, because to be forewarned is to be forearmed. And the devil doesn't come at you like a red dragon. I wish he did. In the book of Revelation, he came as a red dragon. But a lot of times he don't come as a red dragon. He might come when a well-dressed, handsome man. Or he might come as a very nice, pretty young lady. Or he may come as an opportunity that seems too good to be true. He comes not just overtly. He comes sovertly. He tricks us. He beguiles us. He bewitches us. He makes us reason stupid things. And people come up and say, well, it's okay. God understands I need a relationship. I can sleep together and we can. God understands I need love. No, you're in sin and you're going to ruin God's plan for your life. Hey, God's got a better plan. Amen. Go back to 1 Peter 5 and 8. I'm going to read this in three different translations, but you're going to see the King James. 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, be careful. Watch out for attacks from Satan. Your great enemy, he prowls like a hungry roaring lion looking for some victim to tear apart. Another translation says, keep a cool head. That word, be sober. Listen, when I heard the word sober, it meant my uncles didn't get drunk that weekend. They were sober. Okay, sober today means alcohol, not drinking, but really it means keep a cool head. Stay alert. By the way, I love my uncles, and most of them got saved. The devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. Another translation says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. In other words, 1 Peter 5 and 8 tells us as Christians and tells us who are not Christians, you need to be alert. You need to be careful. You need to be proactive, watchful, diligent. You don't need to just ho-hum and clueless. No, he is a strategist. He has a plan. He has a plan. And so I want to give you three things this morning about Satan's plan. And I'm going to give you three areas to think about when it comes to his plan. And then we're going to end off with God's plan again. Number one. Think about temptation and consequences. I want you to say temptation and what? So temptation. We all have temptation. I promise you, I'm an ordained preacher, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. I have temptations. I have all kinds of temptations. The same that you have. When somebody, does me wrong, or I feel like they do me wrong, I have a temptation to let them have it. Somebody hits me, I want to hit them back. Come on. I've got temptations. We all have temptations. Did you know what? As long, I've got temptations. Sometimes the devil will say, why don't you just quit preaching? Why don't you just quit church? Why don't you just do this? Why don't you do that? And I'm like, devil, you are a liar. I'm not going to quit preaching. I'm not going to quit going to church. I'm not going to do this and do that. And some, you know, I ain't going to you tell me your temptations. We all got them. Amen. It's not a sin to be tempted. You are going to be, and let me tell you something. I don't care how sanctified you get. I don't care how much you run the aisle. I don't care how much times you read the Bible. You're still going to be tempted. You're always, if you've ever had alcohol in your system, you're always going to be tempted to drink. You're always going to be tempted to smoke. You're always going to be tempted to pick up a joint. You're always going to be tempted to look at porn. You're always going to be tempted. Even when you're saved, the sin is not in being tempted. The sin is when you yield to the temptation. It's when you pick up that joint and you start smoking. It's when you click on that website. It's when you say that bad word that you shouldn't say. And let me tell you something. There are consequences. When we get tempted, the devil's, that's his plan for your life. But understand, it may feel good for the moment. And you may get a little bit of buzz. And you may get that beer. But it may feel good for the moment. But understand, whatever Satan has planned for your life, it's going to turn out not for your good. And it's not going to be fun or easy. Maybe in the short term it will. But in the long term, I know that adulterous affair may seem illicit and may seem sensual and pleasurable. But I'm here to tell you, it will bring tears. And if you are in adultery, if you are sleeping and with a person that is not your legally married spouse, it is a temptation. It may feel good, but at the end, the worst, you will lose your own soul for something over which God had so much better for you. Amen. Look at Proverbs chapter 23, verse 31 through 32. Proverbs 3. It says here, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it gives its color in the cup, when it moves itself aright. Verse 32, for at the last, it biteth like a serpent. So thankfully, I've never struggled with alcohol in my life, thankfully. I did go to East Carolina University. They had kegs of beer all over the dorms. And the big thing was to get wasted and get drunk, and half of them probably quit school, and that's the thing about alcohol there, and the scripture says you look at that glass of wine and it just sparkles and it looks so appealing and it tastes good, but yet the problem is when you take alcohol, there are consequences to it. I was reading an article the other day. A 39-year-old woman has cirrhosis of the liver, and she said, I hadn't drunk for 10 years. She said, but when I was in my 20s, I would drink so hard for weeks at the time, and then I would quit for a few months, and then I would drink so hard. At 30, do you realize cirrhosis of the liver is incurable? Do you realize, folks, I'm not here to bash on alcohol. I'm just talking about sin in general, whether it's sexual sin, whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs, whether it's unforgiveness. That's a temptation when somebody hurts me to be unforgiven. That's a sin. And whatever the sin is, it may feel good for the moment. The temptation is real. But when you give in, when you pick up that wine, and people talk about, well, I'm just a moderate drinker. That's like being a moderate adulterer. Listen, there is no moderation in sin. We are to abstain from the very appearance of evil. And I can prove to you that the water he turned to wine was non-alcoholic. I can prove to you, I won't do it in this sermon, but if you want to know the people who say, well, Jesus turned the water into wine, here's what I say. Get a cup of water, bless God. Have a prayer and say, Father, turn it into wine. I sure would like some. And if he turns it into wine, drink up, my brother and my sister. Other than that, don't yield to temptation. Well, it's just a casual drink. But the problem is, when you do a casual drink, your granddaughter is going to see that casual drink and say, well, grandma does that. And their casual drink is going to be beer and hard liquor and vodka. And then when they get intoxicated, they're more easily to give their sexuality away and get the, folks, we need to, this is old fashioned holiness preaching. Hallelujah. We need to embrace God's plan for our life. Amen. So there's consequences to temptation. How about those commercials? I love the commercials. I don't love them to see them, but that's one thing that a society is against, you know, tobacco use and smoking. And I'm telling you that, listen, I'm not here to bash anybody. If you struggle with drinking, if you struggle with cigarettes, you struggle with drugs, you struggle with all those things I mentioned. Well, listen, this is the one place you want to get you through that. Amen. And one reason we go to church Sunday morning and Wednesdays and Sundays is to help us during our temptations. And when we fall, we can get spiritual strength to overcome the next time. So, but these commercials, like the lady that's got, if I'd have had time, I'd have put it on the overhead for you, but she can't even talk. And she's like, I was a smoker for like 20 years. I don't mean that funny, but I really don't mean it funny, but the point is true. Amen. That's the consequences. Have y'all seen those commercials? Raise your hand if you have. I know y'all watch TV. Don't come and tell me this stuff now. I know you watch TV. How about this? How about when prom comes around at the fire department, they put a wrecked car there. And at the front of the school, at the front of Southern Nash, they put a wrecked car there. Why did they put a wrecked car there? Because they want the people in the prom to know if you drink and drive, you may have a wreck. You may make a wreck of your car, or even worse, a wreck of your consequences. Steve Irwin. Does anybody remember Steve Irwin? He was the guy that went around and chased alligators, crocodiles. Keep me straight now. She's a beauty, mate. Oh, and he would just be in there like, oh, isn't this so great? You know, you remember Steve. Some of you a little younger, you might not remember. I was reading, well, he died. Why did he die? He died because he was in the water trying to find crocodile. There was a stingray. And the stingray went right to his heart, and he's dead. And about a year later, I was reading a book by Charles Swindoll, who's a radio preacher. And it was one of his books, and he was referencing Steve Irwin. And the book was written like 5 or 6 years prior to his death. And in the book, Charles Swindoll wrote, have you seen that guy that runs around these dangerous animals, snakes and crocodiles? He's not used in a lot of common sense, and he will not live to be an old man. And when I read that, I was like, wow, Charles Swindoll, it's true. You can't play with crocodiles or snakes and stingrays and think you're going to be 80, 90 years old. That's the devil. Steve Irwin, for all the wealth of this world, would never mess with those animals. Friend, and I know this is a physical animal, but please understand, that's what the devil does. He makes those things because he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what alcohol will do. That's what sexual sin will do. That's what pornography will do. That's what unforgiveness. It'll sting you right in the heart, and you're destroyed. I thought about Roy Horn. Roy Horn, Las Vegas. So they did the Tigers, and I think it's him and his brother, the Siegfields, Siegfield and Roy. They would get in Las Vegas, and they had that white tiger, buddy, and man, they would just make fun and just everything. And one day, out of the blue, it reminds me of that 1980 song. It's the Eye of the Tiger. That's being very, very unspiritual right now. But I want you to understand that tiger, and what happened was that tiger waited till Roy Horn was isolated. If you go back and look at the video, he waited till he didn't attack him when he was with all the other actors on the stage. But in that moment during that play, when he was vulnerable, that tiger plunged for him. And that show had been running for years and years and years. That was the last night of that show. Roy Horn thought it's probably not a good idea to keep going. Right? Because you can't play with a tiger. Come on, people. Some of you got pet snakes. I ain't coming to your house. I'll knock on the door and I'll pray for you. You don't need exotic, crazy, dangerous. You don't. Folks, I'm just having fun. But please understand, that tiger is the devil, and he attacks when we're alone. He attacks. They weren't expecting that tiger to attack. He had done it 1,000 times, and that's what the devil does. He waits. He doesn't, you know how a truly vicious animal, they will wait until their prey is relaxed and at ease, and then boom, he's got you. My friend, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy when it comes to temptation and consequences. And then number two, here's another aspect of this. When it comes to salvation and service. So here's what I'm going to say on this point. I think you pretty much understand point one. Temptation, sin, all these things I mentioned. But what about point two? Salvation and service. So this has to deal with the fact that you're saved. How many of you are saved? Let me see your hand this morning. So what the devil wants to do is to keep you from not being very effective. He does this through unforgiveness, fear, offense, lack of going all the way with God, sanctification, Bible reading, his schemes and his wiles. Oh, we don't need to get that excited. Oh, you're saved. The devil, he says, oh, so you're saved. Okay, well, I can't stop you from getting saved, but no need to get real. No need to be like Jerry Nelson. I mean, come on. He's a radical. I mean, you know, he dances all around and pulls up the chains, and you don't have to do all that. You don't have to go to church every time the doors open, and you don't have to really give a full tithe. I mean, you know, 10%, really, that's crazy stuff. You know, that's all these preachers. They want money. You know what's happening, friend? The devil's got a plan for your life. And if you are saved, and he's got a plan, okay, I can't keep you from being saved, but I can keep you from being really ineffective. I can keep you from being moderate, from being, another word is lukewarm. Can I honestly say, can you honestly say, can we all honestly say that, look, we need to go all in for God. We need to give our whole life to him. We don't need to give, I got God on Sunday morning from 11 o'clock sharp to 12 o'clock dull, and then that's it, and never pick up our Bible, and never read a devotional, and never have a word of prayer with our family. I know the devil says, oh, you're a good person, and you're okay. No, the devil's trying to tone you down and keep you from being a radical. We need, listen, do we see radicals on the other side of the aisle over there? Do we see radicals over there coming out and this, that, and the other? But listen, we as the children of God, we have got to realize Satan has a plan for our life. God's plan is for you, listen, God's plan is for you to be born again. How many of you are born again? And if you're born again, God's plan is for you to be on fire for him. God's plan is for you to be working in his kingdom. God's plan is for you not to be lukewarm. God's plan is for you to be a soul winner. You say, well, I'm saved. But listen, have you asked somebody else about their salvation? Do you really believe that you are no longer going to hell, and yet your neighbor across the street is going to hell, and you just sit over there and you don't have any burden? At least we can do is pray that souls are saved. Friend, I feel like the devil has a plan for people, and if we're unconcerned about souls, we had a theme at our job not long ago, a theme that I thought was really good, and you know, this is for a corporation, this is for a company that sells TVs, and you know what their theme was for us? All in. That's exactly what we need to be for God. We don't need to be half in, 1 foot over here and 1 foot in the church. We need to be radically, consecratedly, fully, wholly, completely, love the Lord God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your... You say, Brother Ricky, are you there? Oh, I'm not there, but I sure am trying to be there. I want to serve him better. I want to love him more. I want to love this word. I've read it before, but I get more stuff out of it that I'm reading it through again this year. I want to be a soul winner. I'm concerned about people's souls. I'm concerned about heaven, and I'm not going to let the devil use his plan for my life. Listen, someone said this, Christianity, if false, is of no importance, but if true, is of infinite importance. Therefore, the only thing it cannot be is moderately important. And ladies and gentlemen, I feel like that for the average churchgoer and for the average church in America, Christianity to many people is moderately important. And that, my friend, is Satan's plan for your life. God, give us some on-fire Christians. Give us some old-fashioned prayer warriors. Give us some people that want just a little bit of it. Give us some people that want all of what the Lord has. Can you give him a hand of praise this morning? I want to be all in. Hallelujah. All in. And then finally this morning, not only temptation and consequences, not only salvation and service, but when it comes to eternity, look at this, and I'm going to close with this in just a moment. Did you know Satan has a plan for you? And I'm going to preach tonight on God's plan for you for eternity, but I'm going to close this message because this is what it's ultimately all about. Satan has a plan for you to be in eternity in a place called hell. That's his plan. Just bottom line. Ever how he can get you there? If he can get you there doing hardcore stuff, cirrhosis of the liver, then fine. If he can get you there by thinking you're saved and you're not really saved and false religion, fine. It don't matter. If he can get you to stretch out your nose and be high-minded and get you to go to hell, that's fine. Or if he can get you to be a low street, in the lowest parts of the streets, a homeless person, and forgetting God and rejecting God, whatever way he can get you there. But look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. Watch this. Prepared for from the foundation of the world. Stop right there. Keep that scripture up for a few minutes. This is what it's all coming to. This is after today and tomorrow, or maybe even today. Who knows? But it's all coming to this. We are going to stand before God, before his throne, and he's going to say to them, come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom, praise God, prepared for me. Oh, heaven is for real. There's no sickness there. There's no cancer there. There's no heartache there. The wicked shall cease their troubling, and the weary shall be at rest. Oh, it's forever and ever with the Lord, and it's been prepared for me. I hate going to funerals. I despise them. I hate the tears. When my father died, it was the worst thing that ever happened to me and my family. But what is the hope? In heaven, there are no funerals. We will be forever together. That's what it's all about. And by the way, our little time on earth is nothing. And those of you that have children, your main priority ought to be this. What can I do to make sure they make the decisions correctly, that one day they'll hear those words, come blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. It's a different picture here. Matthew 25 and verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Now watch this. Prepared for. Now in the other scripture, come to the kingdom prepared for you. And here, go to hell prepared not for you, but prepared for who? Oh, so no wonder the devil wants you to go to hell, because he don't want to be there alone. People say, well, I can't believe in a God that created hell. He created hell to punish the devil. But if the devil has his way, he's going to get you to join him. That's Satan's plan for your life. And you've got some decisions to make. And God is opening your heart to the gospel. And I wouldn't play with this. And I wouldn't wait till next Sunday. I would jump all in with every fiber of my being. And I would say, oh God, thank you. Because what, go back to John 10 and 10, Sister Hope, if you don't mind. John 10 and 10. Because let me remind you that the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. But I am come. Just stop right there. He didn't have to come. But God sent his son. He said, I am come that they might have life. And life more abundantly. My friend, don't delay. Give all to Jesus. We sang that song, I surrender all. What's holding you back? If you take an honest assessment of your life, is the Satan really got a plan to keep you moderate as a Christian? Has Satan got a plan for those temptations that you're struggling with? Yes, he does. But he said, I am come that they might have life. Now, the question is, will you come? Will you come to him? He came to you. Now it's up to you to come to him. Amen? Because his arms are open. And today is the most important day of your life. You might not have tomorrow. Will you say yes to Jesus? Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, I am asking you as Brother Clark comes to just minister grace into this congregation today. Thank you for coming from heaven to earth so that I could go from earth to heaven. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. And if you don't know the Lord, why not? If you're not saved, why not? He's died for you. And to be honest with you, if you keep on not receiving the Lord, if you keep on saying no to Jesus, then the time will come when he'll have to say, depart from me. But that's a choice you can make right now. Number two, if you are a Christian and you have been saved, praise God, you're going to heaven, yes. But are you moderate? Are you laissez-faire? Do you not have a desire to learn the word, win souls? I open to you an invitation this morning to come all in for God. Be on fire for the Lord. Stand with me if you will. And Father, this morning as we stand before you, help us to reject Satan's plan for our life. Help us to know that you've got an awesome and amazing, wonderful plan for us now and in eternity to come. I want you to lift your hands and praise him for his wonderful plan for your life. Come on, give him thanks this morning and praise him today. Away my sins, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, is the flow that makes me white as snow. Other founts I know, nothing but the blood. He said, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. He's come to bless you. If you're single, he wants to give you the right marriage partner. If you're in financial situations that are hard and maybe some wrong choices, he wants to bless you. I said he wants to bless you financially. Amen. If you've been hurt, if you've been laid off, I don't care what you're going through this morning. If you're sick, if you've had a diagnosis, our God is here. And I want us all to close in prayer. Would you step out of your seat and let's come all in for Jesus this morning. And if you don't know the Lord, ask him to come into your heart. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to make your soul winner. Come on down. Oh, precious is the flow that makes white as snow. Sing it, my brother. Come on, let's seek him. I'm all in for Jesus. I'm all in for the Lord. I'm going to resist temptation. This I see. Come on, let's have prayer at the altar this morning. Let's go all the way with God. That makes me white as snow. No, Lord, I'm yours. I embrace the plan for my life. I reject the Satan's plan. I embrace your plan. Come on, pray right now. Come on, church, pray. Ask God to do something in our church, in our country, in our lives, in our teenagers, in our children. Oh, for our churches, for our pastors. Oh, send revival. Move by your Spirit. Bring healing, God. You've got a plan for our life. A wonderful plan, an awesome plan. We reject the devil's plan. He steals, kills, and destroys. I'm not going to be bitter. I'm not going to be unforgiving. I'm going to pray his prayer. I'm going to live for him. I'm going to pray the Lord's prayer. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those. Oh, help us to be all in. Is anybody going to be all in this morning? Come on. Are we going all the way for the Lord? That
it makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood.
Sing that last line, nothing but the blood.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
One more time, nothing but the blood. Last line,
nothing but the blood of Jesus.